prepare for battle because America is worth fighting for. This is Conscience of a Black Conservative, bare-knuckled, no holds barred, and unapologetic. Here's your host, Keith Lee.
And let's do it, everybody. Let's do it. Welcome to a brand new episode of Conscience of a Black Conservative. I want to thank you guys so much for joining us today. Before we get started, if you like what you're hearing, please be sure to like and subscribe or leave a comment if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. We're also available on Stitcher, Spotify, and pretty much anywhere else your finer podcasts are sold. If you'd like more information, you can reach us at www.thekeithleeshow.com. That's www.thekeithleeshow.com. You could also find us on Twitter at The Real Keith Lee and on Parler at The Real Keith Lee. So, coronavirus. You know, I don't know if you've noticed, but I haven't really spoken about coronavirus that much on this show because I, for one, am definitely over this whole thing. Okay, every show you listen to, we always talk about coronavirus. We can always talk about the media's hypocrisy with coronavirus. Oh, we have to listen to the health experts. We got to listen to the scientists. And I get all that. I completely get all that. But I know if you're like me, you have coronavirus fatigue. But today, we just have no choice. We have no choice. Because we got Dr. Fauci, St. Fauci the fraud, out there playing the victim. All because the president is saying bad things about him. The president is making him sad. I can't believe the president saying mean things about me. And then we have this ridiculous letter that we're about to get into in a minute. From, again, some of our great healthcare experts that are saying that we need to shut down again. Not just, you know, oh, you know, maybe if you're elderly and you have pre-existing conditions, maybe you need to stay home. No. These people are suggesting that we do a complete shutdown again. In fact, let's get into that letter right now. So, just the other day, a letter calling for a second shutdown was signed by some Bay Area, of course, in the drug-addled minds of San Francisco. More than 150 American public health leaders and experts, including several based in the Bay Area, signed an open letter issued Thursday calling on the U.S. government to shut down the country to stop the spread of coronavirus. Now, this is not a letter that was written back in March. This was a letter written just last week. Hit the reset button, reads the letter. Of all the nations in the world, we've had the most deaths from COVID-19. And by the way, I this is another thing that's kind of jacked up, if you will. The media and the left, and I repeat myself, they are continuing to take China's word that they've completely stopped down any transmission of the virus whatsoever, and all the United States leads the world. Do you seriously mean to tell me that in a country with over a billion people, okay, a country that lies, the Chi-Coms. You mean to tell me that they haven't had any new deaths, that they've completely stamped back the coronavirus? Meanwhile, our country of over 330 million people, the left and the media keep making this case. Oh, I wish if we were like Italy, we could have shut this thing down. Look at the deaths of Italy compared to the deaths of the United States. Again, not putting things in context that Italy has 60 million people and we have 330 million people. Italy had 35,000 deaths. We had over 30,000 deaths here in New York alone. Right here in New York. With the great hero of the Republic, America's true president, Governor Meatball Andrew Cuomo. But we keep hearing we got to shut down again. This is ridiculous. Let's continue. At the same time, we're in the midst of reopening our economy, exposing more and more people to coronavirus and watching the number of cases and deaths skyrocket. Again, deaths skyrocket? One of the things we keep hearing about is, oh, Florida is reaching record numbers of deaths. And again, every life is important. These are not just numbers. I'm completely aware of that. But in Florida, we had 168 deaths. Well, there was 168 deaths in Florida. Again, terrible, terrible news. But the fact is, you don't put it in context. And they're not putting it in context on purpose. Because here in New York, at the height of our coronavirus epidemic, there was almost 1,000 deaths per day. 1,000 deaths per day. Now, mind you, Florida has way more people, right? The population of Florida is much larger than the population of New York. And we're talking about deaths skyrocketing at 168 deaths yesterday compared to the almost 1,000 deaths per day we had here in New York. The advocacy group, USPIRG, which is the U.S. Public Interest Research Group, which is a left-wing organization, partnered with members of the health and medical community to draft a letter as the number of cases surpasses 4 million and deaths 144,000, according to Johns Hopkins University's count. Multiple medical experts from UC San Francisco and UC Berkeley are among the names on the list. The letter states that the country is on its way to recording more than 200,000 deaths by November 1st. Quote, yet in many states, people can drink in bars, get a haircut, eat inside a restaurant, get a tattoo, get a massage, and do myriad other normal, pleasant, but non-essential activities, it says. Oh, non-essential activities, you say? Really? Because getting a haircut and getting a tattoo is really horrible. That's going to kill grandma. But you notice how some of the non-essential activities don't include, protesting and burning cities to the ground. You kind of notice that, right? Experts argue in a letter that non-essential travel should be barred and calls for non-essential businesses to be closed. It says restaurant service should be limited to takeout. People should stay home, going out only to get food and medicine or to exercise and get fresh air. Again, no mention about Black Lives Matter, no mention of Antifa, no mention cities burning to the ground, no mention police officers being assaulted. But you, Mr. Law-abiding citizen, you who wants to keep a roof over his head, who wants to keep food on the table, who wants to keep clothes on this kid's back, you need to keep your ass at home. Because none of those things are essential. Don't you see? It says masks should be mandatory in all situations. Do you hear this? All situations, indoors and outdoors. You see this? Not just in confined spaces. Not just on public transportation. Oh, you're going to ride the train. You're going to ride the bus. There's a lot of recirculated air with the air conditioning. You should wear a mask. No. All situations. It then says the country can reopen again when certain measures are met, such as enough daily testing capacity to test everyone with flu-like symptoms and enough contact tracers to trace all current cases, according to those who signed the statement. Do you see this? The medical experts are telling us to shut down one more time. The experts. Why doesn't the president want to listen to the experts? The experts are telling us we're all going to die if you want to have a barbecue with our families. But you know, it's very interesting. It's very interesting. We keep hearing that we need to listen to the experts. But when experts come out, I'm talking about, these are not kooky people. We have experts from great hospitals with wonderful backgrounds from all over the world that have tried coming out and combating the narrative that gets pushed so much by the left. There was a great video that came out just yesterday with healthcare experts from all over the country. They gave a press conference in Capitol Hill talking about the efficiency of using hydroxychloroquine with azithromycin. This was a video that was viewed over 17 million times in an 8-hour period. But guess what? Our bettors decided to pull the video. If you try looking for this video online, on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, the video is gone. And not only that, people who have reshared the video have gotten their accounts banned. And in the most notable case, Don Jr. had his account suspended for 12 hours for reposting this video. So according to Breitbart, the video was viewed 17 billion times. In terms of viral velocity, which is how fast the video can spread, the post was beating content from many other prominent accounts on Facebook, including from Hillary Clinton, Reverend Franklin Graham, and Kim Kardashian. The event hosted by the organization America's Frontline Doctors. Okay, these are doctors. These are healthcare experts. Okay, and legitimate healthcare. These are not some kooky people walking around, some quacks. These are folks that are very, very qualified. But because their perspective and the results they've had with their patients don't align with the narrative, these people are silenced. The event hosted by the organization Americans Frontline Doctors, a group founded by Dr. Simone Gold, a board-certified physician and attorney, and made up of medical doctors, came together to address what the group calls massive disinformation about the coronavirus. If Americans continue to let so-called experts and media personalities make their decisions, the great American experiment of a constitutional republic through representative democracy will cease, reads the event's information page. The event was organized and sponsored by the Tea Party Patriots. And oh, that's the problem, you see? Oh, a bunch of conservatives sponsored this whole thing. So it must be horrible. All those Tea Party, don't you know the Tea Partiers? Don't you remember those big white racists that call people the N-words without evidence, right? We kept hearing that the N-word was used many times without any facts, without any videos. Oh, the video's going to come out, but nothing came out. So the Tea Party Patriot members decided to finance this. Therefore, it must be silenced. We removed this video for sharing false information about cures and treatments for COVID-19, a Facebook company spokesperson, Andy Stone, told Breitbart. Facebook's decision to censor the live stream was quickly followed by YouTube. The video had over 80,000 views on YouTube before it was removed in that platform. And following Facebook and YouTube's removal, Twitter followed suit, removing Breitbart's Periscope live stream of the press conference. Jack Dorsey's platform also then limited the Breitbart News official account, indicating that tweets containing links to multiple stories about the press conference violate the platform's COVID-19 policies. But the gist of what was said was, again, contrary to what's being said on CNN, contrary to what's being said on MSNBC, or from Dr. St. Fauci, there are hundreds and hundreds of doctors from all over the world that have treated thousands of patients with hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin. But because the president so-called promoted this drug, it has to be silenced. You see this? It has to be silenced. And Dr. Fauci, who is playing the victim card, now this is the whole scam. Right? The president says something bad about Dr. Fauci. Dr. Fauci, the fraud, goes on television and starts talking about, oh, I don't pay attention to what's being said. Oh, I'm not on social media. I stand by what I'm saying. And listen to this guy. Listen to Dr. Fraud.
I don't know how to address that. I'm just going to certainly continue doing my job. I don't tweet. I don't even read them. So I don't really want to go there. I just will continue to do my job no matter what comes out, because I think it's very important. We're in the middle of a crisis with regard to an epidemic, pandemic. This is what I do. This is what I've been trained for my entire professional life, and I'll continue to do it.
To the charge you've been misleading the American public?
I have not been misleading the American public under any circumstances.
Oh, is that right? Is that right? We can go back just a few months ago, and Dr. Fauci said that masks were useless. That masks are only going to stop a drop. It's not going to do anything to prevent coronavirus. It's completely useless against this virus. But then Dr. Fauci, whenever he's on TV now, okay, hey, the narrative says you need to wear a mask or you're going to kill grandma. That you need to wear a mask to show that you care, right? Heroes don't wear capes. They wear masks, don't you see? We saw Dr. Fauci, same Fauci last week, when the cameras were on, he's wearing his mask. When the cameras are off, he's up in the stands with his wife and a couple other people. No mask. We've seen on several occasions Dr. Fauci, when he's at the White House during the press conference, he has the mask on. But then, oh, when the press conference is over, and maybe, one or two cameras might still be rolling, this guy can't wait to pull that damn mask off. So he hasn't been misleading. Really? Interesting. Very, very, very interesting. But the problem I'm having with all of this, the media only pushing the narrative that says we need to lock down our country. The problem I'm having with this is people are not discussing the destruction that the coronavirus has not only had on our economy up until now, but what could happen to our country? What can happen to the economy if we did shut down again? Completely shut down again. Here in New York, there was a report that came out that over 4,000 businesses have closed permanently. Not temporarily. Oh, we'll have to see in a couple of months. Maybe we'll reopen. Okay, great. Everything's all hunky-dory. No, these businesses have closed permanently. And the thousands of employees that they had are now out of work. And we're only talking about these last couple of months. But according to the media, that doesn't matter. We got to save grandma. And listen, folks, again, I'm not being cavalier about this. We know how dangerous COVID-19, the Hong Kong flu, the Sesame Seed flu, we know how dangerous it could be for certain groups of people. When we look at the average age of the deaths in this country, we're talking about 80% of the deaths over the age of 65. I love grandma. I love grandpa. And maybe there are things we can do to make sure that we can protect grandma and grandpa. Like not sending them back to nursing homes when they're sick. Oh, yeah. Of course. The savior of the republic, Andrew Cuomo. Where 10,000 elderly people died, right? But we have to save grandma and grandpa. If that means that we need to isolate grandma and grandpa for a second or keep them home, or when they go out, hey, listen, practice real good social distancing and everything. Okay, I get that. I understand the transmissibility and just how infectious this can be, how contagious this can be. I understand all that. And again, regarding masks, again, if you're in a tight environment with people, you're on a train, you're on a bus, you're in the supermarket, I'm okay with wearing a mask under those circumstances. But a few months ago, we were told it wouldn't make a difference. Now it makes all the difference in the world. So if it does, why can't people go back to work? And masks are the be-all, end-all. Oh, if the president had announced a nationwide mask mandate, 50, 60, 70,000 people would still be alive today. That's what the media is saying today. That's what the political pundits on the left today are saying. So if masks work so well that 60, 70,000 people could have survived, then why can't everyone go back to work? And if you're vulnerable, okay, fine. We have to figure out some provisions for that. Why can't kids go back to school knowing what we know about how kids are not really affected by this? That kids are not dying from coronavirus. That little kids are barely even getting the coronavirus. And we also know that there hasn't been any case in the world where a student has transmitted the coronavirus to their teachers. There's no evidence of it whatsoever. But yet here we are today. A teachers union today is saying that they will strike if they are forced to go back to work. The second largest teachers union in the United States announced on Tuesday that it would support its 1.7 million members if they chose to strike in districts and states that move to reopen classrooms without adequate health and safety measures. The union, the American Federation of Teachers, said strikes should be a last resort. But the resolution approved by the organization's executive council gives educators and their union representatives additional muscle in negotiations over what constitutes adequate protection for teachers and school employees. The union is pushing for schools to wait to reopen classrooms until coronavirus transmission rates in a community fall below 1%, and average daily test positivity rate stay below 5%. The union also wants effective contact tracing in place in regions that reopen schools, mask requirements for students and teachers, updated ventilation systems in school buildings, and procedures to maintain 6 feet of distance between individuals. We will fight on all fronts for the safety of our students and their educators, the union president's Randy Weingarten said in a speech at the organization's annual convention. Some online activists have been pushing for even stricter guidelines than those recommended by the AFT, with some educators demanding that schools stay shuttered until there are no cases in a region for 14 days. Now, again, how does that happen? No cases. Think about this. Think about this nonsense. No cases in a region for 14 days. Even St. Fauci himself is saying that coronavirus will never go away, even with the vaccine. Okay, because we don't know how effective the potential vaccine is going to be. But no cases? Does that even remotely sound reasonable? Does that even remotely get you to the idea that schools are going to reopen anytime soon? What does that mean for you at home with your kids? Do you have the resources to homeschool your kids? Do you have the resources to make sure that everything is that they're learning appropriately? That they're not going to be falling behind? Because, some teachers who, again, are not in any kind of danger from what we've seen right now with all the studies that we've seen today. They're saying that they want schools to remain closed until there are no new cases? And these are the same morons that are educating your kids. Oh, shit. Education leaders have said they need hundreds of billions of dollars to implement measures that would allow schools to reopen safely. On Monday, Senate Republicans introduced a stimulus package that fell far short of what Democrats and organized labor have proposed. The legislation would provide $70 billion for K through 12 education, but condition two-thirds of that money on schools reopening at least partially in person, a priority for President Trump, who sees it as a key to reviving the nation's economy by allowing parents to go back to work. The AFT's authorization vote leaves it up to local chapters to make the decision on whether to plan a strike. So teachers that the danger is absolutely remote are now holding your kids hostage until there are no new cases of coronavirus. How do you expect your kids to learn anything? How is that going to happen? The vaccine, if there is one. Now, we're very hopeful. St. Fauci says he's very hopeful of a vaccine coming sometime, maybe this year, maybe sometime next year. I don't know. Nobody knows. We're going through this entire process, but nobody knows. I'm old enough to remember a time when we were told that we needed to stay home to flatten the curve. Flatten the curve. It was never about, okay, we're going to get rid of coronavirus altogether. But yet we have this push to lock down again. Do these people not see the most heartbreaking video going around, many videos, by the way, of cars lined up for miles and miles and miles for people lining up to get food? We're seeing that all over the country. We're seeing that in Texas. We're seeing that here in New Jersey, across the Hudson. We're seeing that in so many states. People can't even feed themselves because they can't go back to work. But yet we have people who are still getting paid, by the way. These teachers are still getting paid. They're telling you to keep your kids at home when the danger is remote. They're telling people to stay. We have the healthcare experts, quote unquote, the experts. You got to listen to the experts. You got to listen to the scientists. Unlike President Trump, we listen to the experts. These experts are saying to lock down again. I'm trying to stay calm. 45 million people are out of work. 45 million people are out of work. And people who are still getting paychecks, your teachers, the media, the politicians, they're still getting paychecks. They still got their benefits. They're not at risk of losing their homes. They're telling you to stay home. That we need to lock down again. And why? Why is that the case? When we were told just a few months, not even a few months ago, we need to stay home to flatten the curve. How does flatten the curve morph into staying home until there's a vaccine when we don't know when that vaccine is likely to arrive? What does that mean for you? What does that mean for your survival? How are you going to support yourself if you can't work remotely? How is that going to happen? And the crazy part about all of this, is that this is being done to stop the president. That's what this is. When we have a concerted effort in the media, in the mainstream media, and on social media, when we have this concerted effort to silence any voice who would dare challenge the narrative, what's the end game? We keep being told to listen to the healthcare experts. Listen to the healthcare experts. Well, we have thousands of healthcare experts that say, wait a minute. We don't need to keep our kids locked at home. Maybe we can go back to work. It'd be completely fine to go back to work if we did social distancing and masks. But you never hear those voices. We have doctors saying that they have successfully treated the coronavirus with hydroxychloroquine. But if you dare say that, you are going to be silenced. You can't say that. Not because it isn't true. We got CNN, we got MSNBC saying if you take hydroxychloroquine, you're going to die. A drug that's been out for 70 freaking years, you're going to die. Are you kidding me? This panic porn has to stop, but it's not going to stop because it's all about stopping the president. If the media can sow as much doubt and as much hysteria as possible, all of it is done to stop this president. So all these moderates, you keep hearing about the moderates, by the way. I don't know who these moderates are. Because the lines can't be more clear. Between right and left. But we have all these moderates, the saint moderates, who seem to, their perspectives seem to change whichever way the wind blows. The left is trying to scare those people. Because if only you vote for the bum in the basement. If only you vote for the guy who can barely complete a Kojic sentence. If only you would vote for Biden, then all of this chaos will end. We can return to normalcy. That's what they're hoping to accomplish by creating all of this chaos. And it's not just with the Hong Kong flu. It's also with this violence that's happening in Democrat-run cities all over America. You notice, it's only in Democrat-run cities. Can somebody tell me? You can leave it in the feedback or whatever. Are there any Republican cities under siege? Because I look real hard, folks, and I can't find not a one. Not a one. But we can rifle off all the names. Seattle, Portland, New York, okay? Newark, Camden, New Jersey, Detroit, Chicago. How can I forget Chicago? These are all Democrat-run cities, and they've been Democrat-run cities for decades and decades. Except for maybe New York. New York is descending back into the good old days, of all or nothing bad days of the 1970s and 1980s. But all of this is happening to stop the president. All of this is happening to create the maximum amount of fear possible. That you can run into the hands of a bum the bum in the basement who has been in politics his entire life, who's never had a real job in his entire life, he's supposed to be the savior. And these folks are willing to let this violence continue. They are willing to let your fear develop about coronavirus. They don't tell you, wait a minute, the death rates have decreased. They don't tell you that the average rate of deaths, 80% of them, are over the age of 65. They don't like to highlight that. They like to use things like spike. There's a spike in new cases, a spike in deaths. But you never compare it to anything, though. We say, oh, there's a spike in new deaths in Florida because they're at 168 deaths today. Now, again, what's worse? 168 deaths or 1,000 deaths? What's worse? But Cuomo's out there taking his victory lap. He's elevated as the model for stopping this virus. But this destruction, folks, this destruction is all being done with a purpose. Just yesterday, last night, on Rachel Maddow's show, we had the mayor of Seattle, Jenny Dumpkin. Oh, I'm sorry, it's Durkin, right? Durkin. Jenny Dumpkin. Here she is again, saying that the president is doing this as a test for potentially invoking martial law to stop the election. I mean, listen to this jerk.
There's no question that the actions of President Trump have escalated things, not just in Portland, but across the country. If he continues on this course, we are prepared to take whatever legal action is necessary. We will do what we need to do to make sure that our cities can be safe. At a time when America needs healing, this president is sowing division, and it is having really devastating impacts in cities across America.
That's just outrageous. It's just outrageous. No mention of the fact that don't use the word protest, because protesting's not happening. What's happening is assaults. What's happening are riots. We're seeing cities being burned to the ground. That's not a protest. There's a big freaking difference between a protest. Standing in front of City Hall with a bunch of signs, that's a protest. Coming up with creative chants. No justice, no peace. No justice, no eats. As they say when you walk into a restaurant. That's a protest. Can somebody explain to me how burning down federal buildings, attempting to lock federal officers into these buildings and trying to burn those buildings to the ground, how is that a protest? How is the media allowed to say that these are peaceful protests? And I know we've all seen the video where, oh, they're peaceful. They're peaceful, but right behind the guy, somebody's throwing a Molotov cocktail. Oh, yes, yes, but they're peaceful protests. Listen to some more of this idiot.
Hate to say it, but it looks like this president is doing a dress rehearsal for martial law, sending in federal forces to take over police duties in city after city for political purposes.
One of the things that you tweeted on Friday, you said, regardless of the president's threats, residents can and should continue to demonstrate peacefully and make their voices heard. But we cannot pretend that his comments are just bluster. What do you mean? It almost sounds like a warning that you have the First Amendment, you should use it. But the president means business?
I mean, I think one thing that this president has shown is that when he threatens division, he follows through on it.
Oh, you see, so it's the president that's being divisive. Not Marxist organizations like Antifa and Black Lives Matter. No. They're peaceful protesters. They're fighting for real legitimate change. It's the president that's divisive. It's the president that's using his authority to send troops to protect federal property, by the way. When you hear all these mayors all across the city saying what the president is doing is against the rule of law, they are BSing you. You notice how they don't cite any of the laws. They don't cite any law showing the president's doing anything remotely illegal. The president is sowing division because he is stopping what these Democrat mayors and these Democrat governors should be stopping. The president was elected as a law and order president. That's why we voted for him. And the president is serious about ending these uprisings all across this country. Because the left will not stop any of this. Because they don't want to stop any of this. Listen to this last part of this piece. Because it is telling. It is telling exactly what they think and what their plans are.
Reports are now they're going to send more agents, possibly hundreds of agents, in a city of that size for a courthouse that is just a block. They are having hundreds of agents. And we've seen night after night after night the series of violent confrontations between the protesters, some of the protesters, and the federal response. I think that we want there to be protests. They are make us better as a nation.
You hear this? And this is why they will never stand up to Black Lives Matter and Antifa. This is exactly the reason why. Because we need these protests. We need to have a racial reckoning in this country. Protest is what we were founded on. Do you understand this? Do you see the mindset? Do you see how they are willing to have people die? To have properties burned to the ground? To have our brave men and women in uniform, to have their lives sacrificed, all for political gain. But you see, it's the president that's doing this for politics. The president's using this as a very loud racial dog whistle for all of his white supporters who want to see the president, I guess. Well, which is so weird, by the way, because most of these morons walking around are also white in Antifa, by the way. We're seeing 70 and 80% of the protests are all white, by the way. But it's always implied that the president's doing this to sort of show his white supporters, the white supremacists that support the president, that he is willing to stop brown bodies from having any sort of advancement in this country.
Our country was born out of protest. But at the same time, we want to make sure that those protests remain peaceful and that they don't overpower the...
Again, I mean, is she crazy? I seriously want to know, is she crazy? Or are her constituents that stupid? You see, now we're getting a little deep now. I'm really starting to believe this. Some people say that liberalism is a mental disorder. I'm starting to really believe that. See, it used to be a time when, maybe the leftist has a difference of opinion, right? You know, we can, you know, we're all on the same team, right? But okay, maybe our policy prescriptions are just a little different. But we all want the country to be made better. I don't believe that anymore. Maybe when I was younger, I was a little bit more naive. But that isn't the case anymore, folks. These people really want to destroy this country. These people really want to see this country burn to the ground. The idea of America is what needs to die, according to Black Lives Matter and Antifa. Understand this. Understand this. So when she's talking about the need for protest, this is what she's talking about. She's hoping that by saying all of this nonsense to her stupid-ass constituents, she's hoping that the mob will somehow overlook her, that they won't come to her house, even though they did, by the way. She's hoping that by bowing down to these idiots, that she will be allowed to stay in office, that the mob will just leave her alone. It doesn't matter whether your life is sacrificed, it doesn't matter whether your property is sacrificed. What matters is she gets to keep her power.
Really important message of Black Lives Matter and the need to really dismantle systemic racism, not just in policing, but in every institution of government.
Now, I ask you, we keep hearing this phrase, systemic racism, institutional racism. Can somebody please show me a law today in 2020 that stops Black people from having any sort of progress in this country? Can somebody please show it to me? We keep hearing about segregation. Oh, here in New York, we have to get rid of the specialized high schools or get rid of the requirements to get into specialized high schools. because it doesn't look like New York. We need to extort our suburbs all over the country. If you don't allow affordable housing, which we all know, these are key words. Not only does it show you're racist, but it highlights the fact that segregation still exists today in 2020. And that's why they use that phrase. Systemic racism, institutional racism, segregation. I ask again, what laws today on the books is designed by and for white people with the specific exclusion of blacks? Show me. But the constituents eat this crap up because they're morons. And they will continue to say this over and over again. And not only will they continue saying it, but they're going to try to indoctrinate your kids, which they've already been doing. But this is going to go to the next level. There was a report in the New York Post a couple of days ago out in California. The largest U.S. public university will now require ethnic studies as a graduation requirement. You hear this? These people are relentless. These people will never let up. Check this out. Ethnic and social justice studies will join English and science courses as graduation requirements at California State University after the Board of Trustees at the nation's largest four-year public university system approved the idea last Wednesday. The change made amid the national reckoning over racism and police brutality will take effect in 3 years and represent the first change to the school's general education curriculum in over 40 years. Meanwhile, the state legislature is considering a bill to require ethnic studies, a more narrowly focused proposal that wouldn't count social justice classes. If passed and signed by Governor Gelhead Gavin Newsom, the measure would overrule the action by California State University, a possible scenario denounced by school leaders as an intrusion into academia. The assembly has to review minor amendments before the bill, yada, yada, yada. The plan approved by California State University trustees allows students to choose from a wider array of ethnic studies. So it doesn't matter. Yeah, you get to open up a nice book, but you better choose something. Because you ain't graduating unless you hear all this nonsense. Unless you have to be harangued for your whiteness. Your white guilt and your white privilege. You got to atone for that before you graduate. So again, to allow students to choose from a wide array of ethnic studies to fulfill the course requirement that the legislature's bill. It lets students take courses on social justice that explore issues such as the criminal justice system and public health disparities. Do you hear this? Public health disparities in the criminal justice system. Interesting. Very, very, very interesting. It says it's grounded in ethnic studies, but it is broader, more inclusive, and gives students choice, Chancellor Timothy White said before voting in favor of the change. Assemblywoman Shirley Weber, a San Diego Democrat and former professor, authored the legislature's bill. While trustees and legislators agree on the need for more ethnic studies, Weber and supporters of her proposal say the mandate adopted by the university system is weaker because it also allows other classes. The bill will take effect during the 2021-2022 academic year and require students to take one course focusing on Native Americans, African Americans, Asian Americans, or Latina or Latino Americans. Do you understand this? The indoctrination never ends. It never ends. And in addition to this, we already know that schools all over the country are going to be teaching American history based off of that ridiculous 1619 project, which is full of lies. But they're going to teach it anyway. I got into a little back and forth on Twitter with some of the supporters of Nicole Hannah Jones, of the author of the 1619 project, because she wrote this crap yesterday, admitting that it's not historical. I've always said that the 1619, this is her words, I've always said that the 1619 project is not a history. Not a history, but yet it's being taught in history class. You get this? Okay? Students are being taught this nonsense. She says it's not a history. It is a work of journalism that explicitly seeks to challenge the national narrative and therefore the national memory. So, you see this? Let's cherry pick data and let's use the narrative that is promoted today to somehow create a warped and twisted version of American history. It goes on to say the project has always been as much about the present as it is the past. Ah, the crazy thing, as he goes on to say, the crazy thing is the 1619 Project is using history and reporting to make an argument. It never pretended to be a history. We explicitly stated in our aims and produced a series of essays. Critique was always expected, but the need to discredit it speaks to something else. Further, the curriculum is supplementary and cannot and was never intended to supplant U.S. history curriculum. Whoa! Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? If that was the case, why are they teaching this crap to your kids? Why is it being bandied about as gospel? If this was never meant to as a true historical document, why has there been so much money spent to promote this garbage? Why is Oprah, the oppressed Oprah, who's worth a couple of billion dollars, why is she funding this? Because she's going to produce a whole documentary, a whole series on this wonderful 1619 project. And mind you, this woman won a Pulitzer Prize for this work of fiction. We have black scholars and universities all across America that came out against this and said that this is nonsense. But she won a Pulitzer Prize anyway. This is sick. This is evil. Understand, we are not dealing with people. We're not just having a debate about polities, about policies. This is a fight for the... This is a fight for the future of this country, folks. This is a fight to determine what kind of a world are your children going to be living in over the next 20 to 30 years. Understand this. This ain't a game. This is not a game. Every day they're going to be out there doing this crap. Every day they're going to be out there saying the president's racist or that you're racist because you're not walking around with Black Lives Matter t-shirts on. This is a game. These people are sick. These people are evil. We have moved beyond the point of being naive. These people don't want what's best for the country. They want what's best for themselves. They don't give a damn what happens to you. They're about supremacy. This Marxist communist supremacy. This is what they want. And to see so many institutions in our country, from academia to our corporations to the media, parroting this message tells you everything you need to know about what they are willing to do to achieve their goals. Get serious, folks. Get serious. We had a lot more to talk about today. But, you know, we're going to have to wait until tomorrow. Understand the fight we're in right now. Understand what's going to be happening over the next 3.5 months. If that incoherent moron in the basement wins the presidency, we will not recognize this country in the future. I can promise you that. We will be less safe, less prosperous, and more divided than ever before. That's our show for today. Oof, my God. I got to calm down a little bit. I love this country, folks. I know you love this country. And it is distressing to see what's happening out there today. It is distressing to see what's happening out there today. And I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. But we got a serious fight in our hands, folks. And get ready, because I'm telling you, the next 3.5 months... Oh my God. These people are going to do whatever it takes. I promise you that. Thanks for listening today. If you like what you've heard, please be sure to leave a like or subscribe. We thank you guys so much for the support that you've given us. I really mean that. I really mean that from the bottom of my heart. You know, I love the support that you guys have given us. I really do. Because it gives me confidence. You know, living here in New York, real quick before we go, living here in New York, you know, it does kind of get lonely. I mean, we have friends. You go out there and you do it. You have a good time whenever when we didn't have to worry about social distancing. But if you're a conservative living in New York, it can be kind of lonely because everybody believes the same thing. So when you come across other folks out there who understand the fight that we're in, who understand the values and the ethics that we hold dear to us in this country, it's refreshing. So when I've seen some of the comments you guys have left, when I see the subscriptions going up, it's really encouraging. You have no idea. You have no idea. So I thank you guys so much. I love you guys so much. And we'll see you tomorrow. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Conscience of a Black Conservative. Don't forget to like, subscribe, or comment wherever you get your podcasts. You can also check us out on Twitter @TheRealKeithLee or on Instagram @TheKeithLee.